The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I know a lot of people that are bound this morning, and there are several people that I'm standing for, believing for their total salvation, healing, and deliverance. And we have so many promises in the Word. If we will just stand on the Word, our whole house, our entire household, can be saved. Just like Noah, his whole household, because of him, because of one person. It doesn't say anything about the righteousness of the children or their wives or his wife. One person, because of the faith of one person and the obedience of one person, the entire household was saved. Thank you, Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, if you don't have a foundation, you need to lay a foundation. But when you're building a building, if you've already laid the foundation, you don't have to go back and do it again. And you don't keep fooling around with the foundation. You go on and build the building, or you'll never get anything done if all you stay with is the foundation. The Lord wants us to grow up and grow into the fullness. And as he says here, go on unto perfection, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That doesn't mean that we leave them in that sense of the word. It just means that we move on and we continue to build on the foundation of the principles, the basic principle of repentance. You know, some people never get beyond the foundation. There are many denominations that are good people and they're saved people, but they don't get beyond the foundation. And we're not to condemn them and say that they're not our brothers and sisters just because they haven't come into a greater revelation or deeper knowledge. We love them. Amen. You know, we are to be in unity with them. And we're to pray for them that they will come on unto perfection. And leave off the messing around with the foundation and continuing to fool around with the foundation and get on to building the building of God. We are his Amen. Temple. Amen. We are living stones. Each one of us is a cell, a living stone in his body. Amen. Each one of us has the same anointing, the same spirit, each person that's been born again. We have the same opportunity. It's Amen. Up to us whether we'll be 30, 60, or 100-fold. And especially in this country, we really have no excuse. Because we have the freedom to carry around our copy of the covenant, that we can always refer back to it when we forget who we are, and we can continue on. And we need to make a diligent effort to continue on and to leave the foundation and move on unto perfection. It talks about in, I believe it's Acts, that it does say there in Acts that there were some people that were familiar with the baptism of John. The baptism of John was unto repentance. That's what John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. He laid the way, opened the way, the path for the Messiah. And that's all they knew about. And we see today that many believers, saved people, are still really just with they're still onto, as it says, laying again the foundation of repentance. They're just with repentance. And we need to move on from repentance. Once we've got repentance, we need to stand on that foundation of repentance and keep on building on that. And not keep going back and talking about our unworthiness. Yes, we have things to repent of, you know, often. But we're not to stay stuck in that. We're to move on from the dead works. And realize that they are dead. And we are to forget them and forget the past. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms. Baptisms. That's plural. More than one. First, there's the baptism unto repentance, as John preached. The baptism in water. We know that's a circumcision made without hands. It's not just a symbol. Something really actually happens in the spirit when you're baptized. And let me just interject this. If anyone has been saved, has come to the knowledge of Christ, and has not been baptized, they need to do that out of obedience to the Word, and so that circumcision, what that does is cut away the old man. Amen. If you don't get baptized, it doesn't mean you're not saved, as some may preach, but you'll be hindered because that old man won't be cut away, and you'll be carrying around a dead body. Amen. And that was like one of the punishments in Roman times. If you killed someone, that you had, a lot of times they'd tie the dead body onto you, and you had to carry around that dead body, and it would rot and decay and stink, and you know, that would just be terrible. That would just be terrible. And it could cause, you know, infection and eventually cause you to die too, carrying around a dead body. So that's what baptism is, baptism in water. And you'll be hindered in your growth if you haven't really partaken of that. God does it. God cuts that because it's a circumcision made without hands. That means God does the cutting away. And when you come up out of that water, you don't have that dead person anymore. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to remember that over and over because we start thinking the thoughts of the old man. We're going to get into that today. And then the next baptism is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost. After you're born of the Spirit, you need to be baptized. Baptism means full immersion, fully immersed. So even though you're born again and you have the Spirit of Christ, because you have the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, but you need to be totally immersed in the Spirit of God so that you can have power to be a witness. And that's still just foundational stuff. And of resurrection of the dead, we believe that. And of eternal judgment, and we believe that. And this we will do if God permit. Now turn to Colossians chapter 3. So this we will do if God permit. And it's His desire that we grow up and build on that foundation. Oh, He wants so much for us to be overcomers in every area. Do you know when something comes against you, it's not just for you personally? It's not just against you personally. As a matter of fact, it's not against you at all. It's against the Word of God anyway. It's to fight the Word. And you'll notice, if you start making a diligent effort to get this Word in you and to stand on it in faith, you may notice that things seem to get worse for a time, for a season. Things may seem to come harder at you. And days that maybe when you start out with the Lord and days that you just go on your own way, life seems a little easier. Why? Because the enemy fights the Word. He hates the Word. And when you begin to stand on this Word, that's when you get an attack.
Amen.
But that's the time to keep standing. Because if you keep standing, he has to flee. He cannot stand against the Word. But see, a lot of people give up because they don't realize. They start believing for something and they start speaking the Word and they start agreeing with God's Word. If it doesn't happen right away, they sometimes give up.
Thank you, Lord. The
Word says we have need of patience. That after we've done the will of God, we shall inherit the promise. The promise, whatever promise you're standing on. So, to grow up in the Lord, you have to keep standing even when enemies come against you. But it works. I'm a living witness to that. If you will keep standing and determine yourself, just dig in and keep standing and keep that sword out, the darkness has to flee. Because this Word is full of promises, and all the promises of God are yes. He already said yes. You know, a lot of people don't know how to pray. The Lord's been showing me recently that people don't know how to pray. And I hope that He will continue to reveal things about that to me that I may share it with people. A lot of times people just beg God, oh, please help such and such, and please save you know, my brother, my sister, or whatever. Please do this, Lord. But he already said the promises of God are yea and amen. That means they're done. He's already said yes. If it's in the Word, the answer is yes, you can have it.
Amen.
If you're a believer, if you met the requirements of being, if you're a believer, if it's in here, you can have it. It's yours. It's yours. No matter what it is, because Jesus shed His blood so that we could have everything that God is and everything that God has. Because we're joint heirs. And Jesus said, all power is given to me, both in heaven and on earth. So whatever Jesus inherited, it's ours. He's made us joint heirs. Has nothing to do with us or our goodness or our worthiness or how much we try or how... It has nothing to do with us. The blood has already been shed. It's done for us. We're just like rich children that were born into a wealthy family. The wealth has already been earned for you. It's already been done. We don't need to be spoiled brats about it, but it's already been done. And we need to be grateful and thankful. So when we pray, since He already said yes, we need to begin to thank Him for it. So I just thank Him for all the things I'm standing on, all the things that I have need of. And when I'm praying for someone else's salvation or deliverance or healing, I just thank Him for it because He already said that it can be. So we just need to, you know, you come to a point sometimes if you're really aware in the Spirit where you may be asking for something, all of a sudden you can't ask for it anymore. You just can't ask anymore because it's already been done. Whether you see it manifested yet or not doesn't matter. It's done in the spiritual realm. And the way you bring that into the natural realm is by agreeing with God, linking your faith. Faith is the key to the spiritual realm. Whatever is in the spiritual realm in the kingdom of God is done. And your words, by faith, bring it into the natural realm. Sometimes it takes a little time because of the... Just like Daniel, it took 21 days for the answer to come through. God heard him the first day. It was done the first day, but the prince of Persia, or the enemy, stood against. And it's the same with us. When we begin to stand on something and thank God for it, it's done. And we should never think, oh, it didn't happen, and walk away in disappointment. You got to exercise your faith, regardless of your feelings. Now, that's not easy. When your eyes don't see, when your ears don't hear what you're asking for, and when you don't feel it in your body or in your soul, and sometimes not even think it in your mind, then put on the mind of Christ. Because His faith is perfect. It's perfect. And Galatians 2:20 says, we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
We live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith we have. We don't have enough of our own. Ours is limited. Ours comes short, just like our love comes short. Just like everything else that we have of our own self comes short of our own selves. We can do nothing. But He has perfect faith, perfect love. So when we put on Christ, then we can operate in that too. And we're going to grow up into that. He wants us to grow up into that. See, a lot of times when a minister preaches about the glory and all the great things you can have in God, sometimes people walk away and they feel, the enemy will come at you and make you feel condemned. He'll make you feel like, well, I guess, you know, it's for them, but, you know, it may be for her, but I just can't ever reach that or attain that. But that's not right. And when someone ministers on the great things you can have, it's like, in a way, in a sense, it's like a prophecy to you. And it's a true prophecy if it's the Word of God, which means you can have it if you meet the requirements. If you believe it and stand on it, it can be yours. God's no respecter of persons. But things don't always happen instantaneously. If it does, it's a miracle. And God does miracles. Salvation is a miracle. When you come to the Lord and you repent of your sins and with a true and sincere heart, a miracle happens. You are born again. And then we have miracles in healing. But there are other times that He wants us to grow and believe Him and exercise our faith so we can grow up. A child that stays in a playpen all the time and never gets any exercise, a baby that is just you leave them in the bed all the time and they never get to try to walk or try to crawl or have any exercise, they will not grow properly. Now, that's just logical. And even children, if there's something wrong with them, you know, they give them therapy to move those muscles. They force them to move those muscles and they get better from it. It's the same in the Spirit of God. When you're first born again, you're a babe. And you got to exercise and you got to eat. And this is what we eat, the bread of life. Hallelujah. Okay, Colossians 3, verse 1. He is so faithful. He knows what you need. I certainly don't. Most of the time, what I say is new to me. If ye then be risen with Christ, and if you're born again, you're risen with Christ. The Word says. In Romans 8, it says that you're justified, glorified, risen with Christ. It says it many places. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to fulfill your duty. The Lord knows we are on the earth, we're in the earth, we're not of the earth, but we're here. And He knows we have things that we have to do here. But as we do those things, you know, He can bless anything. You're out planting flowers or cooking a meal or mowing the lawn or whatever you're doing, hammering nails. You can be in a spiritual place. And it's glorious. He can teach you things even from the common everyday things. Oh, I just love it when He does that. It's like little miracles, great blessings when He does that. And if you'll set your mind on Him, He will do that for you. So that you can have joy on your job. You can have joy at your school. You can have joy in your home or wherever you are, driving the car. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can be in heavenly places all the time, I believe. Amen. You have to make a diligent effort sometimes. Sometimes it's easy when the Lord is just graciously pours out His grace and His Spirit on you. Other times you make a diligent effort. But if you'll make that effort, if you'll make that little bit of sacrifice, that's why they call it a sacrifice of praise. If you'll make that sacrifice, He is so faithful every time. A lot of times, I just start speaking the Word. I don't feel anything. I don't see what I'm speaking. Everything may look bad. Everything may look totally like it's falling apart. And I'll just begin to speak His Word out. And in no time, in just a few minutes, you just start feeling the joy of the Lord and you start feeling a spirit of thankfulness and gratefulness. And then that builds up your faith. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. That word affection in the Greek is, and I don't know if I'll pronounce this correctly, forgive me if I don't, but it's phroneo, or phroneo, phroneo. Anyway, it's good to study out what these words mean because I believe it gives us a greater understanding. Sometimes, you know, the King James Version, and I love it. I love the language of the King James Version, but it was written a long time ago, and a lot of times the words have changed meaning. You know, we think affection, well, you may have an affection toward ice cream. But it means more than that. And here's what it means in the Greek. To exercise the mind. Boy, that is so good. This chapter right here will tell us how to live. We're in Colossians chapter 3. It'll tell us how to live. It'll tell you what to do. And on down there, it'll tell you what not to do. To live a victorious life. If you'll meditate on the Word every day, you'll begin to live more victoriously, just greater and greater day by day. You'll have some trials too, but if you'll keep on meditating in the Word, be diligent at it, you'll overcome every one of them. He always causes us to triumph. And I lost my train of thought a while ago. The Lord just brought me back to it. When the enemy comes against you, or you have any kind of trial or problem coming against you, it is not for you only. Remember this. It is for the entire body of Christ. He's coming against the Word, but it is for the whole body of Christ when you overcome. If one member suffers, they all suffer. That's the Word of God. That means it's true. Don't think it's not. Don't hide in your little corner and just feel sorry for yourself and think you know, because if you are suffering, the whole body is suffering. So you need to gird yourself up and encourage yourself in the Lord and strengthen yourself and say, this is not just for me. It's for my whole family. It's for the whole body of Christ. It's for the whole body and the whole world. God's vision is big. Sometimes we get small in our little thinking. We think about our own home and our own little families and our own little neighborhood, our own little jobs, what's going on there. And we forget that God is so big. And He has a plan and a vision for the entire world. And what you do counts in that vision. If you are not fulfilling your particular, and that's why I have ministered to you so many times, the Lord has beseeched you, which means begged. He has begged you through me to seek Him to find out what your part is, what your place is. You have a job in the kingdom of God. Every single person does. And if you are not fulfilling your job, and it's important, it may not seem important to some people. It may not seem important to you. I consider it important if I pick up a piece of paper off the carpet. God sees that. I'm not leaving it to someone else. And He sees that. And sometimes some people have to do more than their part because the others are not doing their part. But God sees every little thing. And if you'll be faithful in those little things, He'll promote you to greater things. But even when He does, don't think that you're above the little things, because He'll call on you. He's got a right to call on you at any time for anything. For anything. Because we are not our own. We have no rights. We have no rights. And we get so caught up in our own rights and our own thoughts. And sometimes we ought to just ask ourselves, well, what does it matter what I think about it anyway? It doesn't. And if you'll think like that, then God will use you more and more. But it's so important for you to seek the Lord, to find out what your place is in His plan. Because if you, one person, one little you, if you do not fulfill your part, then people will go to hell because of it. Because there are people that only you can minister to. Only you. No one else. And it's so important that we find out what our part is and do it and be faithful at it. It's so important. Thank you, Jesus, for that word. And I just want to encourage you to please continue to seek the Lord daily to find out, you know, what does He want you to do? What is your part in the body? And He'll answer. If you seek Him diligently, you will find Him. Let me go on to the word affection. To exercise the mind. Boy, that takes a diligent effort. Now, I don't know of, you know, there may be a few that have attained to a place where they are just so in the mind of Christ that they're just 100% in the mind of Christ all the time and operate in it all the time. But I don't know anyone that operates in it 100% of the time. But that's what we strive toward. That's the perfection that we strive toward. Exercising our mind. Because that's where the battle is, in the mind. But you have to use this mind to get to the spiritual mind. Because if you let this mind run away with you, if you don't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and how can you do that if you don't know the Word? You have to know the Word. If you labor to put the Word in you, then when a thought comes against you, you can say, and it, maybe it disturbs you or makes you worry or makes you anxious, you can say, now wait a minute. Is this from God? And if you've got enough of the Word in you, if you don't, get in there and see what it is. But if you've got enough of it in you, immediately the Spirit of God will rise up and say, that's not God. God's not the author of confusion. So you can take that thought captive and dismiss it. Say, this is not from God, and you just start thinking the opposite. And you just start speaking the opposite. It means to entertain in your mind or have a sentiment or opinion in your mind. See, affection is not just you whether you like something, you know, or not. To be mentally disposed, it all has to do with the mind. We think of affection as something having to do with, you know, the emotions. That's what the way we think of affection. But it has to do with the mind. An exercise of the mind and of your will to agree with the Word of God. Earnestly in a certain direction. Earnestly thinking in a certain direction. Earnestly. Set your affection. Earnestly go in that direction. You have to make a diligent effort to interest oneself in. Look at what you're interested in on a daily basis. Right now you may be interested in what I'm saying, but what are you interested in tomorrow? What were you interested in yesterday? Were you seeking the plan of the Lord for your life? Take a checkup on yourself and do something about it.
You've just heard part one of a two-part sermon. Tune in next time for part two.